they have a different name now. It's not a him, it's or is that the transgender one? It's transgender. It's just terrible.
Did you see how Google, they found out Google for the last few years has been
even if you talk about something, it seems
like years into they're fueling that's how they made their huge game. It's like
I'm gonna. If I step on you again, I'll have another one, right? Match pair. Okay. Good evening, folks. We're hearing from Maureen's brother in Arizona, and their monsoon season is starting. So, and I'm like, well, it's working here too. So, all right. 1, 2, 3, be prepared to mow. Oh, that grass is going to wake up and go, yeah! Okay, well, see, it's got to get it out of the system before Vacation Bible School next week because we don't want rain then. So. All right, going to look here at lesson number 9, receiving God's healing, the second part of that. It's been a couple of weeks here since you heard the first part. Bob took care of that. Then we had a break here with 4th of July, give people a chance to recover. We could have had it that night, and we'd all sat around and, yeah, because we were up till whatever time it was. Okay, so receiving God's healing. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for watching over us, giving us safety here tonight. We thank you now for time to look a little bit closer at this name that talks about your ability to heal in various ways in our lives. Thank you for that. We ask that you guide us now in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just a little bit of review. Maybe you were all here before, but like I said, been a little bit. So we're talking about... I mean, he says, from time to time, we all need healing, right? Okay. Once in a while, you hear people, oh, I've never been sick. Well, maybe not. They're probably stretching it if they're saying a day in my life. But some of them have never been in the hospital. And then, bang, all of a sudden, they're a lot. You whatever that age number clicks off at. So, yeah, so sometimes we need physical healing. Sometimes we need emotional healing, some various types of help that we need. And we look here at this word Jehovah Rapha, meaning that God heals, the Lord who heals. First time we see that's there in Exodus 15. They've just made it through the Red Sea, walking on dry ground. We can't even do that out here, and we've got just millimeters worth of water, let alone feet of water. Okay, and they're pretty excited. They're singing songs, praising the Lord. And you get from one side of the Red Sea to the other, and you find yourself in the desert. And day number one, okay, running out of water here. You know, you probably, of all the things that they had to pack up and leave, you know, it's probably not, you know, strap a 50-gallon barrel of water on the back of some animal. And day number two, a little more thirsty. Day number three, we come to where? Mara. I think the only one that named their kid Mara is what? On that Progressive advertisement? What does Mara mean? What?
Bitter.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay. Once in a while you get a hold of some, well, maybe it's healthy, maybe it isn't, well water or whatever. It's got a little different twang to it. And you know, you hold it up and it's, that was the kind of water, wasn't it? In the cabin we were in, you hold this glass of water and it's kind of all bubbly, you know, and you kind of wait for things to kind of simmer down, and it doesn't look real clear. I think we're drinking bottled water this week. You know. Yeah, it's probably just full of minerals. It's probably really good for you. But anyway, this water was bitter. And so, needless to say, that didn't go over real well. You got a couple million people that are thirsty, and you get to this, probably, maybe it looks like an oasis of some kind. Man, trees grow, what have you, but you don't want to drink it. They're not happy about it. And God provides a solution, though. We don't know what kind of a tree it was, but whether it's the whole tree, the tree branch, God tells Moses to toss that into the water, and it makes it okay to drink. And, you know, God's able to change things that are bitter into something worthwhile. What does he say there in Romans 8? 28, he's able to take all things, all right, turn it around for good, and he can do that with water. He can do same thing in our lives. Sometimes things happen in our life, and from the outset, it looks like it's a really bad thing that's happening, you know, and then as time goes on, we get 20/20 hindsight and think, well, maybe that wasn't so bad after all. But the Lord heals. He's able to heal water. He's able to heal us. And as Bob brought out, the fact, you know, came down to obedience. They needed to obey and trust the Lord to cross the Red Sea. They needed to obey and do what the Lord says, even to cast this branch or this tree into the water. I mean, does that sound like something that would work? No. I mean, I think sometimes God just delights in making us scratch our head and go, what? but it works because, you know, God's in charge of all this. And I will just review a few of the verses that were brought out. And one of those was Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Okay. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, or our sins, who healeth all thy diseases. Okay? So God's able to cleanse away all of our iniquities, our sins. He's capable of healing all of our diseases. Does that mean God has to? God, you gotta heal me. Nah, that's not gonna work. All right? And we'll see that as we go along here a little bit. But God has the ability to do that. Well, and then we see here that he's able to heal us physically. You know, they joke about that, but sometimes it's a little bit more real than we want to admit. You know, as we get older and people get together, and you don't have to go to Organ Piper Pizza to have an organ recital. It's what this hurts and that hurts, and what this doesn't work anymore. And yeah, and so physically sick. I mentioned that. Is there anybody that's never been in? Well, you're probably there when you were born, but never been to the hospital? Oh, really? Okay, all right. There's always one in the crowd. That's all right. You know, and then I haven't heard, maybe it's just I don't get out much, but I haven't heard of divine healing meetings. And that seemed like I did go by a church here a while back. And it was, I don't know if it was like Thursday nights or something like that. It was supposed to be some healing service. Don't know. But, okay, so this is going way back. I don't think he's even alive anymore. Any of you remember Oral Roberts? You know, and he would heal people and so on. But I'd heard this. I'm going to check this out and make sure it's for real because, you know, you can't believe everything here. But, yeah, Oral Roberts, you know, he was kind of into divine healing and so on. And yet on the grounds or in the area of Oral Roberts University, there's a 60-story clinic and diagnostic center. There's a 30-story hospital, in a 20-story research place. They got a lot of people involved, you know. But I've always thought, you know, if you had the ability to heal people, and I know I've said this before, but you may not have all heard it, so I'll say it again. I would just love to go, well, we could probably start at West Allis and then work our way to St. Luke's and just go room to room and heal them and send them home. You know, I realize there'd be a lot of long faces. You know, doctors, nurses, all these people standing at the windows looking out, wishing they had a patient. But we send them all home. They're all healed. But they don't do that. No, we're going to have a big tent meeting. We're going to come on over to Waukesha Expo and, you know, and we'll just pile the crutches here and the wheelchairs there and, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a skeptic, but does God still heal a divine? Okay, God, divine. Does he still do healing? He does. What do you think? Is he appointed people with the gift of healing to go out and clear the hospitals? Well, if they are, they're not doing their job, but yeah, God still heals, all right? Now, we see it taking place with the disciples and the apostles, but again, that was a transitional time. That was a time when people didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. They needed to come to Jesus, and they need to be convinced that the message that these guys were preaching and the messenger were for real. You know, and after they see some miracles, they go, I guess this is the real stuff, you know, and they sit up and pay attention. Well, we see, though, God was healing in the Old Testament. Again, King Hezekiah got sick. Isaiah said, you're going to die. Better update your will. That's something we probably all ought to do. I was thinking, we try to do this before we go on a trip, to get this stuff together. And my son, I'm sure, doesn't want to hear about, okay, all these folders are right here, you know, if you need it. The only problem is the will was made when they were little. And their uncle was going to be their, you know, caregiver or whatever. And that still needs to be updated. So we got, that's on my to-do list here. I'm sure the courts would sort it all out. But, okay, so he prays, doesn't necessarily ask God for more life, but he did kind of, remember, I've been doing a lot of good stuff, and he had. God chooses to heal him, gave him how many more years? 15 more years. Do we all want 15 more years? Do we know what this country's going to be like in 15 more years? Do we want to be here? Well, we'll leave that one up to the Lord, you know. I still kind of want to tune in on for that that trumpet. okay. But like I said, God doesn't heal everybody. Paul was a good example. Here's the Apostle Paul, great apostle, does tremendous work for God. He's got some kind of problem, and he's asked the Lord how many times? Three times, okay. And God said, nah, don't think so. And he wasn't punishing Paul, but he told him, my grace is sufficient. That may not always be the answer we want to hear. We want to be healed. That's why we're asking for it. But if God chooses not to, he's going to give us that empowering, that strength to deal with whatever issue it might be, physically or otherwise. Okay. And, I'm sure it's an adjustment in your mind and your heart. You know, when Paul finally heard this, that, hey, it's not going to happen. You know, he'd been used to heal other people, and yet he couldn't heal himself. And God's saying, no, got something else here in mind. But God, you know, God works in mysterious ways at times, not just with us, but, and we might remind ourselves, okay, everything that Paul asked for, he didn't necessarily get either, right? But God had a plan. There was a purpose behind it all. And he says there in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All right, well, you don't have to answer out loud, but when's the last time we gloried in our infirmities? Wow, thanks, Lord, for that pain in the neck. And that's not the one sitting next to you either, you know, or whatever else that we're dealing with. But Christ's power flowed through him. It didn't stop Paul. I mean, I look at Paul as like the ever-ready bunny. I mean, not even stoning seemed to slow him down for very long. Okay? And God had great things in mind for Paul and for you and for me. And he reminds us too, though, sometimes we hear of people, they had a particular need, and we say to them, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you ask? We could have helped you out. You know, well, it's kind of that way with the Lord as well. There in James 4:2 says, you have not because what? You ask not. Okay? You didn't ask for it. Okay? We need to acknowledge, I mean, God knows our needs, but he also wants us to be mindful of where our help's going to come from. And he's going to give us what we need. How about if we ask for the wrong thing? Does God still know what's best for us? Yeah. All right? So maybe even when we don't always get what we ask for, We can trust God that God knows what we really need, and He's going to give that to us. Okay, that brings us up to this point here tonight. Well, our time's flying away, and we just reviewed. Okay, so Jehovah Rapha also heals us emotionally, mentally. Okay, just a verse that I wrote down here. I don't know if that was shared last week or not, but Isaiah 61, verse 1. 61, 1. There it is. Okay, 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Okay, so Isaiah is sharing this. God had one of His responsibilities, and ultimately the Lord, Jesus, was to bind up the brokenhearted. Sometimes it's not an achy muscle or a sore joint or whatever. We talk about a broken heart. We're hurting inside, you know? And sometimes that hurt can be so much that we feel like we're going to die. You know, it's a brokenhearted. And yet God can come in and minister to us in such a way that can change that. Sometimes, though, you know, we're in the microwave society. We want everything done instantly, okay? Over the last few weeks, I've had a hip that's been yelling at me from time to time. And I'd been told years ago that I shouldn't take ibuprofen because it works. No, I'm a small dose of blood pressure medicine. You don't want to mix these two. And we're in Colorado, and I went to the pharmacist, and I said, "I've been told this. Is that for real, or can I take something? What else can I take?" He says, "You can take it. You just don't want to take a lot for a long period of time. Okay, a couple of weeks or something." Okay, wow, amazing what that can help. you know. But sometimes we want things to happen. I'll take this thing, and by the time I swallow it and it's down here, the pain's gone. It doesn't usually work that way, does it? No, this takes an hour or two to do some good. It has to dissolve. And well, you know, sometimes I've talked to people, you know, they've got themselves into some kind of a problem. And this is not just physical, emotional. It can be all kinds of problems, financial. You know, it took you a little while to get into this mess. It may take you a little while to get out of it, okay? God doesn't always just go, "You're better." Now, sometimes when Jesus healed and others, rise up and walk. It happened that way. But that's a small percentage of all the healing that takes place. A lot of it, it's, okay, it's going to take a little while. Well, we got some people here that ended up needing some emotional healing. You remember Elijah, okay? He's on his mountaintop experience. He's up there on Mount Carmel. They do battle with prophets of Baal, you know, and they can't get the fire lit, you know. And his is poof, everything's gone. Wood, the stone, the water, the sacrifice, everything's gone. Mountaintop experience. Remember what's next to the mountain? The valley. Sometimes we fall into the valley after a mountaintop experience of some kind. That's what happens to him. Now, Jezebel helped him out. She pushed him off the edge. But she said, "You know, those prophets you killed out there, you're going to be like one of those here, real short-like." And so he's on the run, literally. He flees town, run as far as he can go, as fast as he can go. And he's running for his life. And he finally just fizzles out, ends up underneath a juniper tree, and sits down. He's down, discouraged, depressed. You know, he'd been on, again, mountaintop, beat those Baal prophets. They're dead, 450 of them, okay? They're not going to cause a problem anymore. So, I mean, he could have had 450 praise of the Lord's, but he didn't. He just thought of that one mean old woman, Jezebel, that wanted to have him killed. Okay? That's that tunnel vision. And sometimes we get at that. We got all kinds of neat things going on in our life, but we got this one big black dot that we're focused in on, and that's all. It consumes our life. Well, that's what's happening here. He's down and discouraged. He's ready to the point he's ready to die. Okay? Lord, you know, just take my life. I'm done. You know, stick a fork in it. What's God do? What was God's solution? Pardon? Yeah, well, he does eventually get up and get moving, or get back on the horse. But no, he's wore out, okay? And so he's napping, he's sleeping, okay? We don't know how many hours he slept, and he wakes up, and God provides an angel there with a meal. Can you imagine how that must taste? Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to go back to sleep and dream about that meal I just ate. That was angel food, okay? Probably wasn't angel food cake either. Anyway, so he has a meal. He wakes up again, you know, and he's got another meal sitting there. You know, it's kind of like little babies. You get their tummy full and they're ready to go back to sleep, you know. And so eventually he gets rested up. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We've been burning the candle at both ends. You know, and you can get by with that for a while. You know, little sleep, lots of work, lots of worry, all kinds of stuff. But sooner or later it catches up with you and you just kind of, you know. And you need some rest, okay? You need to unplug for a little while. That way, in some ways, it was kind of nice when we were there in Colorado, in this little canyon. Phones don't work. Internet doesn't work. I had a little computer, never turned it on. Wouldn't have done any good because I couldn't hook up to nothing. I mean, it had electricity, but sometimes we need to kind of just unplug and rest, you know? And again, Elijah here gets rested up, and as Mark said, God, although it doesn't describe it right here, come on, Elijah. I got something else for you to do, all right? But he needed some emotional strength and healing. And a good meal and some sleep doesn't always cure everything, but sometimes that's what the doctor ordered. And the Lord knew that's exactly what he needed at this particular time. Well, that was a great prophet in the Old Testament. It also talks about a great prophet in the New Testament, that of John the Baptist, okay? This must have been quite a guy. Camel's hair. Ooh, can you imagine how scratchy that would be? Talk about wool. And eating locusts. Ooh. I don't know if that was chocolate-covered locusts or not, but that doesn't sound much good. But anyway, God was using him in a great way. He was preparing the way for the Lord. Well, he crossed the wrong guy. And that was Herod. And, you know, he was kind of coming down on, well, it wasn't kind of, he was coming down on Herod for his adulterous relationship with, I believe it was his brother's wife. And anyway, he got thrown in prison, you know. And, you know, John's probably not all that much different than us. And we're thinking, wow, what's the deal? Here I am out doing what God wants me to do. I'm preaching. I'm teaching. We're getting people to come to Jesus and everything. And now I'm locked up and I can't do anything. You may have felt that at times. Here I am. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm studying. I'm praying. I'm trying to help other people out. You know, trying to be a witness. All kinds of different things. And the next thing you know, it's kind of like the roof falls in on us, and it's, what's going on here? Well, for John the Baptist, he's wondering, Jesus really the Messiah? You know, And so he sends a couple of his disciples to go and ask Jesus, are you really the Messiah? And they ask it in a public meeting, okay? And we see that the Lord responds in a rather interesting way. Again, it gets to the point that John the Baptist is doubting Jesus, doubting if he's, and it's his cousin. He's grew up with him. He's seen his miracles. He's heard about him. And yet it's, I don't know here. Something isn't right. We might have some doubts cross our minds for one reason or another. You're going through hard times. You can't figure out why. You ever have periods of time in your life where it's just one thing breaks after another? You know, and it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? The next one breaks before you get the other ones fixed and so on. And we see here that he's questioning. Do you think that surprised Jesus? Do you think it surprises the Lord when our lower lip starts to hang down a little bit? We're kind of having our own little pity party for one reason or another. No, he knows what's going on in our lives. And he made us with emotions, you know? I mean, we're not all designed to just take it on the chin and nothing bothers us, you know? Yeah, there are things that bother us. We need emotional healing from time to time. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. You think maybe there might have been a few down and discouraged people along the way that he kind of lifted up and strengthened and encouraged? Well, you know he did. He heals us physically. He heals us emotionally. We see here the prayer that he talks about. Maybe we need to pray this prayer there in Psalm 42:6. My God, oh, my soul is cast down. We need to admit when we got a problem. Now, I'm not a real fan of Alcoholics Anonymous, but they've got that part kind of nailed down. Neighbor went through that when we were back in Minnesota, and he'd kind of tell me what's going on. And they'd come in, you know, get them dried out a little bit, and then they'd go to meetings. But they had to go around in their pajamas all the time until they finally got to the point where they would stand up and say, my name is John Wooden, and I'm an alcoholic, or whatever the problem was, if they were in there for drugs or something else. They had to admit that they had a problem. So many people today won't admit, I've got a problem. Well, you can't get a whole lot of help unless you realize that you admit you got a problem. Then maybe you're going to start doing something about it. Okay? When they admit it, then they got to put the street clothes on. Well, we need to admit it to God. It's not going to take God by surprise. He's not going to go, oh, I never thought that would happen to you. No. I mean, he knows about it a long time ago. All right? But he's there to heal us. He's there for us. We're never going to get a busy signal. Okay, yeah, was it yesterday? Anyway, morning our phones went goofy. I could call other people, but if I called her, it would ring once and hang up. You too? Oh, everybody. Okay, so, but she called me, it would ring once, and hang up. Okay, we got U.S. Cellular, 611. Well, I waited 20 minutes only for them to tell me all their advertisements. That somewhere in there, though, they did say, there's some outages in your area. But that was it. And I thought, well, I guess that's all we're going to get. Clunk, you know. God's not going to play games with us, all right? He's going to hear us. He's going to respond. He doesn't have to heal us. And if he doesn't choose to heal us, he'll give us the strength to deal with it. But in the meantime, he wants us to, you know, and if it's not coming, we think, okay, am I being obedient to him? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Let me just read this one verse here in closing. Back in Exodus 15:26, he says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, that means set up, pay attention, listen, and wilt do what is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay? So he wants us to be obedient. Okay? That's not too much to ask. And he's going to hear, he's going to respond, he's going to give us, and if he does say, like to Paul, no, he's got a reason behind it, and we can trust him with that. But he's going to give us the strength and courage to be able to deal with whatever issue it is. Okay? You know, sometimes, I don't want to play mind games with you, our time's gone, but sometimes we just need to put things in perspective. We kind of like, we need a reality check, all right? I don't have any idea how long the Lord's going to let me hang around, okay? But if he says, you know, no, I'm not going to make that hip any better. It's still going to yell at you from time to time. And if I live for the next 30 years with a sore hip, is that the worst thing that could happen to me? No. Because when that trumpet sounds, or the dirt's being thrown in on top of the box, I'm not going to be hurting anymore. And for the next 10,000 years, that hip not going to hurt anymore. You know? I don't expect when I get to heaven, I don't have any with me. I'm not going to be doing this. You know, or whatever else you got to do, you know. It's going to get better, all right? And the better part is going to be forever, all right? But the thing is, most of the time, whatever we're dealing with doesn't last for a lifetime, all right? But even if it does, there's a beginning and there's an end. Only when we get to heaven, you know, there's not going to be a pharmacy on every corner. Bob's going to be out of business, you know. He may be checking your pulse or something. Just say, yep, it's still there. But, yeah, he's going to take care of us. And God knows that. And so we maybe just look forward to the day in which, I think I shared this. Maybe this is the one. I better quit. I'm getting into story time. A married couple, all right? I think this is, you can tell me later if it's not a pulpit joke. Married couple laying in bed, all right? Maybe some of you heard this one. And he's talking to his wife. And she's saying, don't talk to me. Why? She says, I'm dead. What do you mean you're dead? You're laying in bed with me, we're talking. No, she says, I'm dead. He says, why do you think you're dead? She says, because nothing hurts. Okay, I better quit while we're ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We know you've got our best interest at heart. We know you're the great healer. Help us not to put something else ahead of you. You know, you do use doctors. You do use various kinds of pharmacy products and so on to help us out. But ultimately, you're the great physician, and you're the one who's able to bring healing to our physical bodies, to our emotions, to our hearts and minds when our heart is hurting for one reason or another. You're there, and you will heal us, or you'll give us the strength to deal with whatever the issue is. And we can trust you that your plan's best for us. But even if there is some lingering hurts, it's not going to last forever. There's going to be an end to it. And we can look forward to eternity when there won't be any of that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sorry, we're a little